It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And that was an interesting topic. I don't know if I could actually do that experiment, you know, because I'm in the beauty business.
Well, and I think she was like 20, probably about 26, 27. So it's a little different, you know, time of your life.
Yeah. Tom, I mean, what is your thought on if all of a sudden your wife, and I've seen her, she's beautiful, all of a sudden just kind of stopped, you know? What's your thought?
That is, one, it's impossible.
I like it.
Beamed up by aliens. It would never happen. We go to hockey. Hang on. Give me 10. And I've got to bring the kid in because she continues.
To put her lipstick on or
not
whatever.
Not that she needs it.
No. She's
but,
beautiful.
There is no way.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. My husband, I could say the same thing about myself. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm really excited about our next guest, Dr. Jennifer Howard. And she is a PhD. She has her PhD. She is a recognized thought leader on psychology and spirituality. She is an international known licensed psychotherapist and life and business coach. And she is a Huffington Post blogger, and she's appeared on several TV shows. And also, it's kind of interesting because she's known as one of the top 25 celebrity doctors on Twitter, as well as being dubbed the funniest shrink on Twitter. So I want to hear about that, too. But her book is Your Ultimate Life Plan. And let's welcome Dr. Jennifer Howard. Are you there?
Hi.
How are you?
Yes. Oh, I'm good, and I'm so glad to be here, Kim. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So you call your book Your Ultimate Life Plan. What is your ultimate life plan?
Well, this is kind of, I heard a little tail end of what you guys were talking about. This is kind of the opposite end. This is about change from the inside out instead of the outside in.
Right, right.
And this is the plan that if people have really tried to change, there's issues in their life, they want a better marriage, they want more success, this book will help them achieve it. It really is the culmination of my 20-something years of doing all this, and it's gotten real good reviews, and I'm really proud of it. I think it really can help people change.
So let me ask you, you really talk about that you have to do the self-work. I mean, that's, you know, the meditations. I mean, Sharon tells me all the time, and I'm one of those, 4 kids, a couple businesses, a radio show. It's hard to do the self-work. But so how, I mean, tell me what it is, and my listeners, what is the self-work that you think helps you?
Well, it's, you know, you look at the difficulties you're having in your life, and you learn how to go inside and be with the thoughts and feelings that arise with those.
And what do you do with those thoughts and feelings?
Well, you can, you know, my book will help guide you through it, but it's kind of like therapy in a book, really, is my book, or coaching in a book. It helps you, you've got to learn how to be with what's going on. Everything, the world's we're an inside job. Our lives are an inside job. So if things aren't the way you'd like them in your life, and maybe all the things in your life are really working perfectly, but most of us have things in our life we'd like to improve, and that improvement happens by being with what's there internally, those thoughts and feelings inside.
Wow.
So how do you move on from those thoughts and feelings if they're not positive? This is Marcia, by the way.
You have to deal with them first. They don't move on their own. You can't jump over them. You can try. I mean, I'm sure you guys have met people that they married the same person over and over.
Absolutely.
This is so true.
Well, I think also because people look to the outside, they want to fix, they want somebody or something to fix them from the outside instead
That's
of
right.
really being willing to put in the mileage.
And it doesn't take an enormous amount of time. And we're talking about a 10-minute meditation practice and maybe reading for 5 minutes a day and being present in your life in the moment. You know, when you're walking down the street, when you're standing in line at the bank, when you're driving and you're in traffic. I mean, your unconscious is running the show. If you don't have the life you want and the relationship you want, it's because you're not familiar with the programming underneath you.
And
you
I
know,
think
it's
the
like a it's like the hardware. Hardware. I can't say it.
Hardware. And the problem when your subconscious is running the show is that you have the default tendency and you keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Exactly right.
And it's like, why have we not learned that lesson, right? You know, Jennifer, take us through, like you said, it's 10 minutes. Is that all?
Well, that's a start.
Okay.
I mean, we would start to be with your thoughts and feelings. I mean, this book is packed full of different kinds of meditations.
Okay.
But, you know, stop for a moment right now.
Okay.
And notice the sensations in your body.
And let me just tell my listeners out there, if you're driving and you want to pull over right now, we're going to kind of go through a little meditation. We're speaking with Dr. Jennifer Howard, and her book is Your Ultimate Life Plan. If things aren't really where you are right now, and are where you want them to be,
right.
And you want something a little deeper. I mean, that's what both of our last guests are about, a little bit deeper in your life and really honoring who you are as a person.
Right.
And I really believe that all of us are gifts. We're all gifts. And we have to find, like, we're all different flavors, you know?
Yeah.
And so let's take that next step, all of us together.
So before you do the meditation, for those of you that are driving and cannot pull over, you will be able to listen to a replay of this.
Oh, yes, definitely. On iTunes or my website, kimpaganoshow.com. Okay,
yeah.
So let's go. Let's take this through.
Well, there's a couple of, you know, I was going to do one thing that they could even do while they were driving, which is just stop for a moment in traffic, wherever you are driving, and just notice the sensations in your body. Notice how hard you're gripping to the, you know, the steering wheel. Notice the place you're sitting. Notice your feet. Notice the brake or the gas. If you're walking, notice how you're walking. If you're sitting, notice your body. And now notice your feelings, your emotions. You're feeling slightly anxious about something coming up. You're feeling particularly happy today. It's a sunny day in New York with on the sunshine, on the snow. It's beautiful. Just feel what you're feeling. And now notice where your thoughts go. Do you re-loop about worrying about your family, your parents, your children, your lives, your husband? Where do your mind, you know, and what is that? What is those patterns of thoughts, those belief systems that set it up? And then noticing how you do or don't feel connected to the source greater than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So even that, just doing that, standing in line at the bank, helps you reconnect to yourself and in your life. And in the book, I talk about the four dimensions of consciousness, and I go into depth about their mindsets. But that's the beginning of knowing them, is to know we have this. We're so rich, we human beings.
You know,
we're so intricate. We have so many layers to us. It's so exciting, really.
Now, you talk about conscious living 2.0. What is that? She laughs.
I know. Well, it's about really being present in the moment, and that's what we're talking about here. You know, the power of now, being present in the moment. We're so caught in our past dramas and our arguing with our boss in our heads. We're so caught all the time in those past programmings that we're usually not present. So this is about bringing yourself present to the moment so you can really live awake, aware, and alive.
Dr. Howard, I have a question. This is Marcia. Is it harder now? Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is it harder now when everybody is so pulled by
24/7
their phones?
Oh.
You know, you sit in a group. I was at a coffee shop the other day, and there was 8 people sitting with each other. Not one of them was not on some kind of device, having conversation. Nobody just pays attention to one thing at a time anymore.
Well, it's a choice, isn't it? I mean, yes, we have to, you know, sometimes answer our phones. Yes, we have to be in touch periodically. But I think it's an anxiety-driven thing. I think people don't know how to connect because they're I see these people shopping and talking all the time instead of just enjoying the clothes they're seeing or the food they're seeing. And sometimes we do need to make those phone calls, but often it's anxiety-driven.
But just
and
the
we're just
idea...
feeding our anxiety.
The whole idea of Twitter, that at any moment, you need to comment on anything out in society cracks me up because the things that we used to think in our own head before and used to maybe tell one person with us, we're now sharing with the entire universe and thinking that what we say and think, you know, is that important.
That it, yeah, it, that it's relevant to anybody
share
else.
Every
yeah.
little thought. Sometimes you,
or that
you
anyone
should,
cares. Or
right,
not.
Exactly. It's an interesting dilemma.
I do love Twitter and Facebook for the positive motivational, that constant, so you're always kept present. That's
if
the part that
if
I
everybody
love about
used it that way.
Right. Yeah.
I people can follow me at Dr. Jennifer on Twitter. I mean, I do tweet, but not about what I had for dinner particularly.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. And same here with our show. And, you know, we let everybody know. And Facebook, you know, I'm always doing positive thoughts. And people look forward to that, you know. And I hear about somebody that's had a baby or I you know, I can keep track of people because I think that we're not able to call all these people all the time.
Well, and I think there isn't as much. When it first started, when Facebook first started, I called it verbal vomit.
Yes.
There was a lot of people that would just exude on Facebook. Now I think people are being a little bit more cautious about what they put out there.
Yeah, I agree. Now,
but we can take a moment to slow down right now.
Yes.
This moment, take a breath.
Okay.
Each moment, we can choose to be present. Now, often, we go back looping into that worry loop, and that's where this kind of book helps. Because then we can look at, well, why am I worried again about XYZ?
Right. Now, you are a psychotherapist, right? And what do people come in with the hardest things in their life right now? What do you deal with?
I deal with very high, you know, highly functioning people, as most of my practice are incredibly highly functioning people who see that there's a part of their life that they really want to change.
Mm.
And I know how to make changes that last. I know how to actually change those things. I've been doing it for a long time. I was at the gym last week, and a therapist said to me, not a friend of mine at all, just an acquaintance, he said to me, I don't think people change. And I thought, man, you are in the wrong business.
Wow.
That's sad.
People change. People come in with all kinds of things, but mostly it's around success or money. It's around relationships and their marriage or their children or their aging parents.
I absolutely think you change because I married my husband. I was 30. He was 35. Neither one of us had been married before. And I swear that we would not have ever been attracted to each other if he would have met me at 22.
Oh, and
because
and
I was a completely different person. I wanted completely different things out of a relationship at 22 than I wanted at 30. Not that everybody should wait. Some people know what they want when they're young. I was one of those that didn't.
And some people may need to divorce. I don't know.
Right. But I think also if you look at your core values and you live your life according to your values, then some things change, but your core values don't change.
Do you agree with that, Jennifer?
Well, I think some people's core values have to be uncovered. If you grew up in an extremely dysfunctional family and you were beaten and you end up being a person who beats people, you need to look at what's underneath that. So I think we're all innately good. I think we're all innately empowered to be the best. We're all here to do that. And sometimes for some of us, actually I think most of us, it takes some work to really reach the depths of who you are. Yes,
I was a kind person
as a kid. I was kind as a kid. But I had all this other junk on top of me, you know, that I had to work through to be who I am now.
I would say so. That's exactly right. I was in my young 20s, I had, not that politics is important, but I had no political views whatsoever. I could care less what anyone in the world did. Now I'm a very conscious person. I know that what we do to each other affects everybody else in the world. And I try to live my life consciously that what I do does not negatively impact other people. I try to be more positive where I wasn't in my 20s.
And you know, what's interesting is, and I have to say, this is why I said in the very beginning of my show that Marcia's one of my really great friends. And she used to say, I dove into everything. I did. I would dive in, not thinking twice about what I did. And Sharon has made me a little more conscious of that. Is every door that opens, do I need to go in it? No, let me make sure that this is going to be, you know, worthy of who I am. And so it's really made me a little hold back, which I'm not sure I'm still in that, you know, like growing stage,
but
guess.
I think we're always growing. I don't think we ever stop.
No question.
No matter where we are at.
I think we are, Kim.
We're evolving. You know, we're looking at whether what we've decided to adopt, whether it works for us, does it need to be tweaked? Are we still in alignment with it? So
exactly.
And some people are open to change and some people are not. And it's the willingness, well, basically.
And what I'm thinking about, Kim, is what you've learned to do is listen to your inner wisdom.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And this book has a whole chapter about how to do that.
And that's so important.
But, you know, we really have, as we mature, hopefully we mature, many people just grow old.
Right. I don't know. I've heard that when you get older, you want to actually get younger, you know? I mean, have more fun in your life, right?
I'm talking about you can have more fun if you're psychologically and spiritually more mature. You have more freedom.
Got it.
Just telling Sharon this afternoon that I watched an interview with the Supreme Court Justice Sotomayor. And the question that was posed to her was, can women have everything? And she said, that's a ridiculous question. Because anytime, man or woman, you can't have everything at all times.
There's a price and
for
a cost
everything.
To
yes.
everything, right?
And that what you want to do is be happy with your choices.
And never look back.
And don't
judge yourself.
Yeah,
you
don't
make
compare
a decision,
yourself to
you know,
somebody else.
You know, and that's funny. My husband, I mean, we have a construction company. He always tells me, you know what? My guys, I honor them. When they make a decision, they make a decision. If it's the wrong decision, we have to make another decision. But they made a decision.
Right.
And so why second guess yourself? And I think that really has helped me in my life is when you make a decision, go for it, right? And then if it's the wrong, you're down that road. If it's the wrong decision, then you can make a right or a left and to another place. And so,
well, and I think as you mature, you're going to make less jumpy, bad decisions. You're going to say, wait a minute, I've done this before. I know this one.
Right,
I'm not going to do this.
Right.
Definitely. Now, Jennifer, you say that we each have six stubborn issues that constantly get in our way. What does that mean?
Well, I think anybody over the age of 25 really kind of knows that. Oh, you're kidding me? This again? You know,
Haven't learned it yet, is what you're saying, right?
What? Like, well, we'll say, I can't believe this is here again. I thought I learned this already.
Right.
You know, so we kind of have those six. I call it the six. It doesn't matter. Pick a number. It's you know, a metaphor for those things that I think we even karmically come here to do.
Right.
So we keep recycling them. Now, there's a way that we can re-look at them and grow further from them, become richer and deeper, or we can simply just be a hamster in a wheel and go around and around and around and around and around.
Right.
And I'm suggesting that bringing consciousness to it and doing the work that you need to do around whatever it is actually brings your life to the richness and the fullness that you came to live.
Right. That's, and so it's not about once you've learned the lesson, you don't get the lesson again. It's you keep getting the same lesson so that you can evolve every time and do it differently,
right.
Do it with,
you know, somebody put it perfect to me the other somebody I was talking to about this, and they said it's almost like going into kindergarten. You get all the way up to middle school and you're like, really? I thought I was at the top of my school and now I'm all starting all over again, you know? And so then you go through middle school and then you go, really? Now I'm in high school. And I'm like at the, you know, so is that, do you think that's really how life is?
Well, I do think but I do think you reach a point where you start to feel at a certain age, thank goodness, that I really do, not that I know everything, oh, please, please, please. You know, the more you know, the more you don't, you know, you don't know.
Right. This is.
But that I've reached this book is the culmination of all the years of that I know. Now, in 20 years, I may say, oh, gosh, I learned this and this and this and this. But you come to a place where you kind of know a chunk of work. And I think you probably, everybody in that room that I'm talking to, kind of knows what I'm talking about.
Correct.
And come to that level of, now I can teach it. Now, some people go off, and I think when we talked yesterday for a minute, some people have one harebrained thing and they write a book about it, and God bless them.
Right.
But this is, but then you also reach a level where you actually know what you're doing with your life.
I think it's the difference between writing a book to convince yourself of something you've thought and writing a book, I'm not joking, writing a book because you've learned something and you actually have something to teach.
Well, I think there's an ego. It's an ego versus a purpose in life where you have this and you want to share it because you know that it'll be beneficial. And not that there's anything wrong with no matter what you do.
You're absolutely right. Because there are, I mean, once you can teach it to somebody, you really know it in your heart. I mean, that's what they say is a good teacher.
Right.
Well, and you know what? Somebody told me, a supervisor, God bless her, she's dead now, I loved her. I remember her saying this in a supervision group once. She said to me, it takes 10 years of full-time psychotherapy practice to make a decent therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And
yeah.
In about 10 years, I said, I kind of know what I'm seeing when it walks in the room now.
Exactly.
I mean, now,
right.
10 years later, I really do know what I'm seeing. But, you know, right. You kind of know. It's like people are... We're all very different in a world, but we all do kind of fall into certain patterns.
Well, and it's similar to the fact that when you have a child, they're born as a baby because that's what you can deal with, and then they grow, and every stage they get into, you know, you're ready for that stage, but you weren't ready for junior high at the beginning. And I feel sorry for people that... I would not feel sorry for them, but I empathize with people who marry into somebody with junior high kids because my mm-hmm. word.
Oh my God, a little overwhelming, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, like with the marriages, right? And you go, really? I've never had kids. Is this normal? And you're like, really? You know, it's really the same thing with having several kids as opposed to one child.
Right.
And they're like, is this normal? But you know, you start to scale your life in your lessons that you've learned through, you know, experience.
Isn't that funny? Because when people that had one child will give me advice, I'm like, I don't even want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, I have three kids very close together. And it's like, if you have one child and you can manage them, you're still outnumbering them if you're a couple.
Exactly.
If you have more than one child, you're either equal in number. If you have more than two children, you're now outnumbered.
Totally.
So it's a totally different thing.
Totally.
And the work we're talking about here, I talk about it in my book, a lot of the spiritual paths you read about in the books and tell that will give the ego a bad rap and say, you know, get rid of your ego. And one chapter in the book is about journeying from the wounded ego to the sacred self. And I wanted to write a whole book called Should I Take My Ego to Lunch or Kill It?
I like it. So, I mean, you really do need to have an ego, don't you?
Well, you don't need to have, you're going to have one.
Right.
While you're alive.
Right.
And the point is to heal it, which is what we're talking about, that personal programming, to heal that personal programming so that the ego relaxes and the true self kind of rises up and it kind of integrates together so that you can really, and that's what one of you was talking about earlier, I think maybe Sharon, about then we're leading with that true self, we're leading with that deeper self through our lives. And there's a relaxation, an excitement that happens when that happens.
So for people who have joined us in the middle of this, the name of your book is Your Ultimate Life Plan, and it's Dr. Jennifer Howard. How do people get a hold of that book?
And that's Marcia's voice right now, right?
That's right.
I think I'm getting good at voices.
There you go. Getting good.
It's called Your Ultimate Life Plan, and they can get it at any Barnes & Noble, Amazon. They can go to my website, yourultimatelifeplan.com. My other website, the main website with my blogs, is drjenniferhoward.com. They go see the media site is drjenniferhoward.tv. There's a radio show I do also, and the TV clips and things.
So, Jennifer, leave us with simple steps that someone can take right now to be more conscious in their daily life.
Well, first of all, you need to know happiness is an inside job.
Mm. So, look at we all
I love
went,
that.
Yes, I
yeah,
love
we're
that.
All like okay. Resonating with that.
Yeah.
Yes. And know that healing stubborn issues, that's possible. It's totally possible to change.
Wow.
It's not going to happen overnight, probably not as fast as you wish it would, but if you stay slow and steady, just like working out, you can't go to the gym once.
Right.
Yeah.
If you stay slow and steady, and it takes courage to face what arises, but that courage is available to you, and you can become that spiritual warrior, and that's really kind of bravely choosing moment to moment to be present with what is there. What is the feeling that's come up now? The grief, the sadness, the happiness, the empowerment, all of it.
Almost really take your own inventory, correct, is what I'm hearing, is really listen to your heart. You know, I go to the Center for Spiritual Living, and I love it. And it's all about listening or being quiet enough to listen to your mind talking to you. And
that's
I think
right.
That's what you're saying, correct?
I'm saying your mind talking to you. I'm saying your feelings talking to you. I'm saying yes.
Yeah.
Yes, all of that.
Yeah, I love that.
And the easy step is to stay present and stay with your breath and know you can do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're worth it. You're worth it.
Yes. I totally agree with that. And one of the things, Sharon's my life coach, and she actually tells me all the time, you can't change somebody else. You can only change how you react to another person
and
what you can do about it in yourself. You can't change them, and they'll come along with you.
Right.
If you change you.
And not only that, is we all, again, I really believe this. This is what I try to tell all four of my children. We all have something to give.
And if
somebody's gift is, you know, maybe they're an artist, that doesn't mean that you're not an artist. You have another gift. What's yours? We all need to look inside our treasure and find
that
what our
so
gift
true.
Is. Yeah.
That is so true and so important, because right now this planet needs us all to be our very best.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
More than ever.
Right. And we're not defined by what we do.
That's absolutely right, Sharon.
We're amazing just because we are.
Because we are. I love it.
That's right. And if you're, you know, an auto mechanic, if you're a school teacher, if you're somebody who makes widgets, we need all those things. We
right.
need everybody.
Yes, we do. Dr. Jennifer Howard, her book, Your Ultimate Life Plan. And you know what? I love where you are coming from. I can't wait to read your book. It's kind of a workbook, right?
Yes, it is. It's a workshop and a book. It's filled with exercises, because I really believe that when I teach somebody something, this is what I do when I do workshops too, when I teach something, I then take people into an experience of it, because
right.
we really want to embody wholeness
right.
and God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest, and I'd love to have you back.
Oh, you're so sweet. I'd love to come back.
Okay, you got it. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, our next guest that's going to be joining us is Jen Flay, and her book is The Happiness Handbook. And 9 years ago, she said she was a chubby, miserable divorcee who owned a high-tech company that was barely hanging in there. And she is a singer, and she hadn't sung in 10 years. And now she's living her dream as a CEO of a thriving company and a lead singer of a rock band. And this rocket scientist turned rocker chick into great shape, blissfully happy, and in a relationship with a man who really cares about her. And so she wrote The Happiness Handbook. And so I'm really excited. We're going to talk to her. And let's bring her on right now. Jen, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me on today, Kim.
You got it. So I'm really excited. First of all, I do have a couple books to give away. And so I'm going to give these away on my Facebook at Kim Pagano Show. Become a friend and like our page and tell me that you are interested in getting the Happiness Handbook. It's actually got a little slice of cake on there.
I gave up sugar already. Tomorrow's the first day of Lent for all those who are giving things up.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go. But, you know, I love it. So did I get your story right?
You did.
So tell us a little bit about kind of where you came from and where you are now.
Well, you got where I came from. Basically, on the floor in a pile of tears, everything was going wrong and just didn't look like it was going to get better. And at the time, what I decided was, you know, this isn't working. And what I felt like my number one goal in life needed to be from that point on was to figure out how to get happy and how to sustain it. And, you know, coming from an engineering background, I approached it as an engineering problem.
I love it. That's
So I took a look at, you know, what the problem was, what was creating the problem, which was, of course, me. And what were some
possible solutions? Wait. Let's back up there. You said it was you?
Yeah.
Okay, so internally again, we weren't fixed inside?
I was definitely broken, and, you know, there were collaborators in the breaking process. But, you know, it was me, and being happy, I felt like, was up to me. I couldn't wait around for Prince Charming to da-da-da-da-da-da show up and bestow happiness upon me. And I think that was part of the problem in the marriage, too. I think I sort of expected him to figure out how to make me happy all by himself.
That's a big job right there.
Yeah, and, you know, how could he do that when I wasn't even really clear on what would make me happy? So that's the number one step in the book, is the first thing we got to do is figure out what is it that makes us happy, whether it's things that we can provide for ourselves or the things that we can tell our loved ones, hey, you know what? If you brought me flowers on Valentine's Day, that would make me really happy.
This is Marcia. I have a question. Throughout the book, you have these little squares that have quotes of, I guess you asked a bunch of people what makes me happy?
I did.
And then you wrote them in different parts of the book. How did you come up with that?
One of the questions, I'm in high tech and I'm a musician, and one of the questions I'm always asked by the guys around me is, how do we make our girls happy? Mm. And they seem to think that it, like, it costs a lot of money and they need to, you know, drive a certain car. Maybe it's just because I'm in San Francisco and Marin County. I don't know. We could have different attitudes up here, or they think we do. And when I, if you notice in those little squares, everything the women said that made them happy was something simple, like the wind on my face, or the, you know, feeling the sun on my back, taking a walk in nature. It was
right,
really,
exercise. I love,
yes,
you know, one
thing.
Of the things a woman said is, one thing I know for sure about men is that they are not mind readers. Ask sweetly for what you want, ladies.
Oh, I and think Sharon says this
true.
All the time, right? That we don't ask what we want.
I say that, how do you expect the person to know what it is that you want? Or do you know what your child wants, or how they, you know, what you can do to make them happy?
Yeah, I think
ask
if we really get that. You know, we have Tom here. Tom, okay, we always like to, you know, get the male perspective on it. But, you know, what are men thinking? You can't read everybody's mind, right?
No, and we don't really think about much. we don't dwell as well. We will. That's exactly the opposite. The funny thing is, like you say, it's very simple. It's just tell us what you want. But then there's the element of surprise. When you get to know, you know, what do you want to do tonight? I found out that was a really, really bad question for my wife.
Right. She wants you to make that decision, correct?
Yes. I've got to do something. But then on the other hand, when there are things and you just don't know, it's like, you know, whatever it is, just say something.
Right. Let you in on what we really need, correct?
Yeah. We go out on a date and I take her to a hockey game. Now, for a while, that will work. And she'll have a blast. But every once in a while, I have to remember that
she's kind of maybe doing that for you, right?
We'll go to a play. We'll go to a nice dinner. We'll go to something else. We go, well, you had fun, didn't you? Yes, I did.
I love it.
So we do have to be told very, very specifically, and then we'll make a note. And it'll be all good.
I think that's really important in relationship. Jen, you actually had your men friends help you write this, correct?
Well, they're the ones who kicked me in the butt enough to, you know, get it written down, because they saw the change in me going from being really unhappy to being really happy. And they're like, you know, how did you do it? Because we want to make our girls happy.
Right. And so what were some of the steps that you took? Let's just kind of get right into your book. And what were some of the steps that you took?
So the first one, like I said, is figuring out what makes you happy. And in the book, The Happiness Handbook, I've got a bunch of different worksheets that you can, for different phases of your life, you can figure out what makes you happy. And if you're in a relationship, you can do this if you're single, just for yourself, what you can do to make you happy. Or what me and my guy have done is we've drawn a line down the middle of each worksheet. And so, like, the five funnest dates we'd like to go on, we put his stuff on one side and my stuff on the other side. So he, like Tom was saying, he doesn't have to guess that he has to integrate hockey and the ballet or things like that. That's, you can just go to the list and pick it right off of there.
I'm going to read one of them because this is under the title Freaking Out. When I'm emotional, it's not about you. These things happen and I get upset from time to time. When it's not about you, here's how you can support me and help me feel normal again. That is such a nice thing because, you know, it would be nice if it was just spelled out.
Yeah. I mean, and no, you know, no mess in there. I think
right.
That's the mess. I think that's why, you know, it's interesting. I have a therapist, and he says, I love that you have to have conflicts because that means that you tell your mate what your conflict is, okay? And then you actually, did you hear how I said it? I want to make sure you heard me, okay? So then, and you walk through each relationship, each question in your life.
Well, there's something. I mean, it goes back to communication. to not thinking that someone's a mind reader and to having the communication. But here's the thing. When you have self-confidence and self-esteem, you are more able to think about what the other person in your life wants or needs. When you are so fraught with all of the things that are going on inside you, you're not really able to think outside of yourself and really think about what the other person needs.
I agree.
So Jennifer, Jen, I'm sorry. What is a chocolate receiver and an olive bringer?
So here's the story. Let's say, well, we're women. We love, most of us just love chocolate. But what if your guy doesn't even notice chocolates, but he loves olives? So he keeps bringing you olives because he loves olives and it's the greatest thing for him. So you got to decide at that point, you know, hey, can I train you to bring me chocolate, or am I just going to be a happy olive receiver, or am I going to kick you to the curb and go find a chocolate bringer?
I love it.
And that's, you know, that's not just about chocolate. That's about, you know, bringing you happiness.
Right.
Is the guy, maybe he's passive aggressive, and you say, what would really make me happy is going to a hockey game, and he keeps bringing you to the ballet.
Yeah. You know, Jen, here's the thing. What if people, you know, there was a time where I didn't know what I liked. I mean, what if you really don't know what you like? Do you, you know, try things on? You know, I mean, like, you know, you go to a ballet and go, okay, that was boring, or wow, that was amazing, I want to go to more. How did you start to really figure out what you liked?
I think for me, and maybe you guys can relate, my 20s were all about that. And I dated guys who were, according to my mother, strange, because they didn't like what I liked. And she could see clearly what I liked, but I couldn't. So, you know, I love the theater and the symphony and live music, and I was going to monster truck rallies and things like that with these guys.
Well, and I think women, unfortunately, are more chameleon than men.
Right.
Women will wrap themselves out of trying to be whatever they think the man wants them to be and change themselves for that instead of finding out who you are and then look for that in another person.
But, Tom, don't you agree that guys tend to want to be with girls who know what they want and are clear about what makes them happy?
Yeah, that's pretty important. I took my wife to a Neil Young concert, and at least she pretended she enjoyed it, which was great. And she took me to a Sarah McLachlan concert, and I was happy the men's room line was really short. we both went.
Yes.
And I think that's, it's a give and take.
Yeah.
And you know, I look at it as, you know, my husband loved racing, like your husband loved football. Now you love football more, and, you know, and I racing.
Not,
you know,
any football, just USC football.
Okay. Okay, yeah. But, you know, it's interesting. And you know what? There comes a time in your life where you are open to trying things. And then I find that it comes to a time in your life where you go, wait a minute. Now it's important for me to you know, fill my cup up. And so, you know, with four kids, you try to give everybody kind of what their time is. My one son skates, my other son races, my other daughter, you know. And so you have to have a little bit of what you really want in your life.
Well, I think when you do fill your cup up and you find those few things that you can go out and do that make you happy, then you have more to give everybody else. Otherwise, you feel resentful all the time.
No question.
Because you're depleted.
Right. Now, Jen, what is, you call it the happiness deficit.
Oh, so remember back at the beginning of our conversation when I was on the floor in the pile of tears?
Yes.
Yeah, that would have been a happiness deficit. At that point, I couldn't have just said, hey, you know what? Chocolate truffles make me happy, and snap my finger and boom, yeah, happy now. Well, the chocolate might have helped, but but it's not a magic thing. It's when you're that unhappy, the first thing that you need to do is figure out how to get to neutral. And
now,
neutral is back to, what are my basic human needs? What are the things that, you know, I'm not getting met here? Maybe I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm not eating the right healthy foods that give me energy, getting enough exercise, maybe not getting enough sex, or maybe I'm not being acknowledged for what I bring to the family or the job or whatever. and getting first to neutral and just getting not unhappy but not necessarily happy is the first step. And in the back of the Happiness Handbook, I've got a whole troubleshooting guide of things that can help you move that level of unhappiness, because a lot of times that's wrapped up in anger and resentment and bitterness for stuff that happened to us currently or in the past that we haven't had a chance to fully get out of our systems yet.
I have a curiosity question. So at the intro to you, it was said, I was a chubby, miserable divorcee. So as you got happier, did the weight just go away?
Well, I also got diagnosed with celiac disease. So starting to eat much more healthy helped an awful lot about that.
So for people that don't know what that means, it's gluten-free.
You have to eat gluten-free. And then, of course, you really lose a lot of weight, actually, right?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yes, okay. So, you know, you have a couple of things in here. Fear of revealing yourself. Do you think that that's, you know, I mean, you have to be brave to say, I don't like this. I like this, right?
I really think so, because for me, in my previous dating life, I was always afraid if I said what made me happy or said what I wanted or said what made me mad, that the guy would leave.
Right.
I didn't realize that that was probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and now I'm in a relationship where both of us have been divorced, and so we're like, you know what? This is what I like. This is what will make me happy. And we just say it, and oh my gosh, having that level of communication is astounding.
Yeah.
So much more, I feel like we have so much more intimacy because we're willing to allow the other person to really be who they are.
Mm-hmm. I like that. You know, I wanted to go through some of your troubleshooting really quick in the back of your book. So defining happiness, five imaginary lives. What do you mean by five imaginary lives?
This one I got from The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, and I did this years ago, and it was brilliant. So you take five sheets of paper, and on each sheet of paper, you imagine yourself, like maybe you're an astronaut in one of your imaginary lives. Maybe you're a rocker in another life. Maybe you're a mom in another life. And just to get your mind flowing about what would your life be like if you, regardless of time and money, so boom, you're a doctor. You don't have to go through med school, the whole thing. If it was like that, what would your life be like? And what are the elements from each of those lives that really resonate with you? Maybe being a doctor, it's helping people. Or maybe it's the fact that you get to play golf. And so golf would be something that would be easy to bring into your life right now. What I found for me when I did this and I looked back a couple years later was I wasn't any single one of those five lives, but I had become a composite of them all. Like you heard from my bio, I run a high-tech company. I just launched a satellite for a client. I'm a rocker chick on the weekends with my band, and I wrote a book. So I got elements of all of that in there. And for me, oh, man, it's a fun sandbox to play in.
I love it. And I really think that that's what it's all about, is kind of picking all the things in life that you want to do. And that's what's, I mean, and that is, that's your personal happiness kind of. And I love how you put it in a handbook. I mean, of really walking through that. I know Marsha's in the process of writing a book right now. And Sharon's in the process of writing a book. I've got one that I'm just going to start doing. And, you know, I mean, it's like, what's our next chapter? What's the next fun thing that we do? As long as we don't lose control of, you know, what really is making our that deep happiness inside us.
I think we always need goals. We need something to move towards. And I think that when you don't have something, to look around and say, you know, what can I move towards? Not something away, not away from something, but towards something that makes us excited.
You know, my husband said something really profound to me today. I'm in the process of starting a new business, and I'm going to have to move. And so I was having a middle of the night moment of panic of how I'm changing my entire family's life. And And what? And he said to me, and I said this to him, he was kind of like in and out of sleep, so I kind of think this was a God moment, but he said, Marsha, life is going to change whether you change it or not. Why not be in control of your change?
Oh, that's brilliant.
And you know what? And I just wrote something like that is, you know, every morning we have a brand new morning. It's up to us is how we are going to control our day, or is it going to control us? And you're absolutely right. I mean, if you can make it yours and own it and really take yourself on the journey.
Well, I think that's every minute. You know, every minute is a new opportunity to decide, are we going to behave the way that we did, or are we going to start again? We're not defined by our past.
Yeah, I love it. Jen, where do we find your book?
Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, and it's a pink book with the cover on the cake. On the cover is a piece of cake, and if you read the book, you'll find out why.
And is it? I want to know: is it gluten free?
Yeah, and it's kind of it's like have your cake and eat it too, right?
Yep.
There you go. Jen, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your journey here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Thanks, Kim.
All right. So, Sharon, you know, I know, gosh, we are at the end of our show, right? We've got we've got a little bit of time left. You know, let's talk about your new journey for a little bit, Marsha. I wasn't sure we could talk about it yet.
I said to Steve the other day, I said, jump in or jump out. Are we jumping or not? And he said, I'm in. And I said, I'm in. So we're in.
Wow. So, congratulations on a brand new start in your life, you know?
Marsha, you really did put this out into the universe.
I did.
I mean, you know, initially.
Okay, I got to say, though, I am not one that thinks, I am a very spiritual person, but I have had a harder time just realizing that the spirit can help you as well as anything else. And so I did. You've been working with me and you said, put out there what you want. You know, what you want in your life. And I had no idea what I wanted.
Well, and it wasn't at the beginning. It wasn't specifically, I want X. It was, you know, what was the feeling? How much did you want to put into it? What did you want to surround yourself with? It was a little bit more abstract. And then it kind of narrowed down.
Well, I had to laugh because Sharon, when I first started seeing her for life coaching, she gave me this list of things to write down. And it said, what do you want out of your life? What do you picture your life? Whatever. I couldn't write anything. I went back the second time. I had nothing written down because it's not that I didn't know what I wanted. It's that I was afraid to write it down. And so, you know, through this process, I'm the one that's jumping off the cliff now, but it's a good cliff because I think it's a really great place to be.
But you've also, you know, I mean, nothing has insurance with it, but you've investigated it. You know, this is something that you've done. You know it like the back of your hand,
right.
You know. She's an amazing florist, and so that's, I think it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as she won't be here anymore, you know, she'll be a part and we'll check in with her. Sharon, when people want to, you know, change, we had a caller last week that called up and he was looking for his numbers. Remember when we had.
Right.
And I talked to him and he's going through a change right now. And it's scary when you make a change, but if you follow it through with, you know, tell us.
Well, I think there are a few things. I think that, first of all, we always have a choice. Now, we may not land up with the exact situation that we have in our mind, but remember, we always have a choice. We can always choose. We are not at the effect of life, okay? We are at the cause of life. So that means we're presented with something. Which choice are you going to make? So it's about deciding, you know, where do you want to move towards? Also, when we're very specific about some things, we stop the universe from giving us an abundance that could be larger than what we thought we wanted.
Mm-hmm. And so let me use this as an example. So I could say I want to have... you break it down, you know, okay, I want to have a lot of listeners. Well, how many listeners do you really want to have?
What does that mean? Right? To one person, it's 5,000. To another person, it's 1,000,000.
Exactly. Right. And so you really have to put out there to the universe pretty explicit of what you want,
correct?
So let's
go back to the last person, the happiness book, okay? I want to be, you'll say to people, what do you want? I want to be happy.
Okay? What's happiness to you?
What does happiness mean? What does it look like? What makes you happy? You know, I turned 50 and my friend said, let's go to New York. Well, it's freezing in New York in December. I said, that's the last place I want to go to. I want to go somewhere warm. So for what, to one person, what looks like it's happy is not necessarily to another person. So it really is about defining what you want. When you have a goal, you are more likely to accomplish the goal when you put behind it the energy and it really resonates with your body. So not just saying that you want something, but you're really feeling it in your body. You're moving towards the goal.
Well, and the other thing that really helped me when I was so undefined about what I wanted was to say, open the doors that should be opened. Let me see if, you know, if you want me to have this, universe or God or whatever you believe, angels, whatever your thing is, open the doors.
So it's not I want it at any cost. It's like somebody saying, you know, I want this particular boyfriend. I want Joe as a boyfriend. Well, what you really want to look at is what is the perfect relationship look like to you? And, you know, Marsha, you said something about that I say, you know, when you rise to a certain level of energy, the person will rise with you. Well, they won't always rise with you. They will either rise to your level of energy or they will fall by the wayside. And so you need to step up and live your life at the best level that you can possibly live. And you will attract people and things that come into your life, but be open for things that are way beyond your imagination to come into your life. So when you want something, to be able to say, you know, yes, I want this particular job, if it's the right thing for me and everything around me and everybody around me, not at any cost.
Right. And to know what your non-negotiables are.
To know what your non-negotiables
are. Tom, how do you, I mean, do you have goals, and how do you work your goals as a man?
It was always difficult, but the a question that my brother-in-law asks at interviews was the greatest, simplest question I ever heard. When you're interviewing somebody for a job, you ask them off subject. You just say, what do you want to do? And I want to work here. No. What do you want to do? And somebody might say, oh, I want to run a marathon. And his follow-up question was, what are you doing to get there? And absolutely, if the guy froze and stared at him, he knew he had a poser. If the guy said, well, I'm running a 5K once a month. I'm putting in 2 miles here and I'm doing. And then you see people have structure. With me, the problem I ran into was, oh, yeah, I want to, but what was the path to get there? And who was I surrounding myself with? And after a while, I thought, okay, I want to go back to college. And I'm hanging around a bunch of rodeo dudes who want to drink beer and shoot guns and old VCRs.
Right.
And I thought, maybe I should move away from this. And I applauded myself a lot better doing that.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing about coaching, is that not only do you set the goals and take the steps, but remember, they have to be steps that resonate with you, not something that's way out of the realm of what you actually physically can do. And then another very, very big part of this, well, two big parts, the motivation to do it, because sometimes we think that we want to do something, and in actual fact, we really don't have the motivation that really it takes in order to achieve what we want, and accountability.
No question.
You want to have
and I think that is so huge, Tom, what you just said, is because if there's people around you that don't believe in what you're doing and aren't going to support your changes and your moves, you know, those aren't the people you want to have around you, because they're going to make you fail, or at least make you want to think that you won't be able to do it.
Yeah, when I was very thin when I graduated from high school, and I just say, yeah, I'm going to start working out. Oh, so you're going to become Mr. Universe? No, I'm going to start working out. And I had so many people around me, so I kind of removed myself from that. And I found other places, and it worked out. And it's really funny when you look around. What are the last 5 books you read? Everybody will ask you those questions. What are the last 5 things you did? You know, if you're a little upset, it might not be the best plan to go listen to the blues.
Yeah,
it might be a really good idea. You know, try to do something
that's uplifting.
Or just find that path.
What was your motivation for working out? Were you moving away from people saying things about you, or were you moving towards something positive?
You know, that's interesting, because the way I did it the first time, I was standing in line and somebody I literally didn't know grabbed my arm and said, "You are so thin."
It's so rude.
And I kind of, yeah, it was weird. And I looked and I thought, well, I guess I could get unthin. And the guy kind of laughed. And I thought, well, it's not like becoming a surgeon, for crying out loud. You just have to lift heavy things for a little while and pick it up and put it down. I just did that, and it kind of worked out. But what I got from that was a different kind of discipline, different kinds of friends, and a different place.
And isn't that interesting? I mean, just by what you have chosen your life, you know, I mean, there's people that drain you, suck you dry. They're, you mm-hmm. know, human vampires, right? And you know, it's more than I can handle if I'm with them. And there's people like that you want to help support, but you got to almost know who you are in your life.
You have to know who you are. And also, you know, we keep talking about this, and just one quick thing. You want to protect yourself energetically. I keep saying this over and over, and we forget that, especially when we're surrounded with a lot of people, or if we are working with people, Kim. So as a hair therapist, or, you know, I'm sure, Marsh, even with flowers, although that's it's a pretty positive business.
Yeah,
now,
except
people
for
are
death,
coming,
but yeah.
Right.
but
I'm
even
not sure
that can
the
be positive.
Energy.
No, even that can be positive if you use it that way.
But so you want to surround yourself with positive people, but you also want to protect yourself in a bubble of white light so that you do not take on somebody else's energy.
Sharon, give out your phone number so that if anybody needs you.
818-744-5859.
I just want to remind and thank everyone for being a part of our show today. Wow. You know, it's all about self-love. Fill your own cup every single day. And of course, I'm leaving you with a thought for your week is, without love, we are like plants without water. And I want to remind you that you can listen if you've missed any part of my show on the KimPaganoShow.com. That's KimPaganoShow.com, or also on iTunes, Kim Pagano Show. And become one of our friends. And I would love to hear from all of you. And I want you to remember, it's a good day to have a great day. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I'll talk to you next week. It looks like a road that you travel on when there's one day.